Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, recorded live in the BHP studios, Detroit, Michigan, with your host, Team BHP.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bowhunter Planet podcast. And today we have with us Dave Thomas from Bowhunter Planet, Michael Van Team from the Bowhunter Planet Ambassadors, and myself, James Noteboom. And today we're going to talk a little bit about broadheads, a little bit about what we've shot, what we like, what we've seen, what we think works, things of that nature. So I will go ahead and I'll start with Mike. Tell us a little bit about your broadhead experiences.
Oh, man. Well, I would say I'm probably a really big rage guy. I've shot on both of my crossbows and my compounds that I've shot. Just have had nothing but success with them. No failure to deploy or anything like that. Haven't really shot a whole lot of fixed broadheads, but when I have, it's been the Ramcats, and those are excellent. I think those are two of my favorite broadheads out on the market now.
Yes, sir. That's what we shoot a lot of is a Ramcat.
And I'd say that the Rage.
Yeah. See, I like Rage. I had a rubber band. It was the older style, and the rubber band broke, and I lost a gear because of it, so I threw a temper tantrum and vowed.
I'm not surprised.
But, you know, I'd definitely try him again.
You seem to throw a lot of temper tantrums.
I don't throw many temper tantrums.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you got the wrong guy.
I got video to prove it.
That was a pretty good video. Mike, did you see that video?
Which one?
The one when I didn't know Dave was taping me in the winter, and I shot that deer and all the arrows.
Maverick, Dark Maverick.
Yeah.
Oh, I may have seen that one. Yeah, I may have seen that one, actually. Stuck.
Dude, those things locked up, man. I never seen anything like that. Those arrows hit that thing, and they were not coming out.
Okay, so I've thrown temper tantrums.
Yeah, but check.
Anyway.
To-do list.
So I'll tell
Broadheads. Yeah, I'll go now.
Oh, God, so here we go.
Let's see here.
Your favorite was Raven.
No, Raven, right. Well, the whole Raven thing was all about like a broadhead that was close to Rage that was kind of similar to it, and that's why that was popular. And Ron Reslow is the blame on this one because I sent Raven called us and they're like, we really want to get more exposure and we want you guys to use our heads. So I said, well, we'll consider it. Give me a couple test packs to give to Ron he'll let me know what he thinks. So he goes out, shoots 40 yards, hitting dead center. And he calls me and says, it's a go. I like these. Let's get some to test. So the next thing you know, I got guys shooting deer and the, you know, broadheads hitting a rib and deflecting straight out the brisket. And he's got deer. We got animals getting hit and it's just not impacting. It's just really bad. So we stopped using the Raven and, you know, hopefully other people have more luck with it. I mean, we didn't.
Yeah,
it was about
50-50 for me. The guys, you know, that I would let use it either loved it or that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it turned out to be bad. It was nothing like a Rage, and unfortunately, well, they're gone now. I don't even think they're around, but anyway, for me, I like the Rage. I definitely shoot a Rage, no problem. I know a Rage works, so for me, it's like I don't need to shoot anymore. I'm more of a testing kind of person, so once I know the Rage is good to go, and if I was out there just to hunt, I'd probably use a Rage. But I try to learn a lot. So if I'm using, in most cases, I've used a Ramcat, and it's definitely deep penetrating, no issues. If I'm going fixed blade, 90% of the time it's a Ramcat. But this year, Ramcat launched the Savage, which is a mechanical. So I'm actually kind of excited. It's an over-the-top style, but I am pumped to try to shoot a deer with that come fall. I was thinking that'd be the one I go to.
Nice.
And that's the main one I've been looking at. Now, also, I will say the Dead Ringer. So we've hooked up a Dead Ringer this year, and I'm really excited to play around with theirs too. And they got some massive broadheads. Yeah. And I don't want to drop names for them because, according to Chris in the
they're gonna switch in
the podcast, all the names have been switched. So I have no idea what's called what, but things like the Trauma are what I was kind of hoping to start shooting. But I tend to try to, like, you know, if I'm going out and I'm gonna shoot a doe, or I'm going out to shoot the first deer I see for meat and stuff, I don't usually have an issue taking something new. Yeah. If I'm going out, I'm specifically hunting a specific buck, the odds are I might take a Rage or a Ramcat specific, because I know I'm not worried about using them, you know. And the Rage just gives you that huge hit, and it gives you a lot of body to shoot for. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Same with me. I'll probably use the Ramcat or the whatever Dead Ringer's good for smoking a deer. Obviously, we can't give you the name at this point. But a lot of stuff I've used in the past, what did I used to use? Obviously, the Muzzy was where I first started with, when I had aluminum arrows and all that. I think a 3 or 4 blade, I can't remember. And then, you know, one I really liked was the Executioner. Those are
I've heard good monsters. Things about those. Yes. I've heard really good reviews about those. I shot a
turkey
ones.
With it, almost cut it in half.
They're so sharp. That's the thing. You know, the Executioner is a great head, man. I wish they're a little bigger. They're kind of a company that's small, and they look big, but they are pretty small. I mean, they're not huge, and that's mainly always the issue, is trying to get away to you know, get big enough to where everybody recognizes you and as a company. You know, it's definitely a good head. I actually kind of forgot about that one. That is definitely a good head in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you what I haven't shot in a while is, like, Muzzies or Naps. I haven't used any of those in a long time, man.
Yeah, I used Naps not too long ago.
How'd that go?
I liked them. I mean, I used the same. It was just like the Rage, the Nap Kill Zone. So it was it worked pretty much just as well, in my opinion. Big wound channels, big blood loss, big blood trail. So I had no complaints on that one. But yeah, I'm excited. This year I'm going to use the Grim Reaper hybrid broadhead.
Ooh.
I was at the store, and it's fixed and mechanical, so it's got two blades of each. So I thought that was kind of cool. Wow. So we'll see how that works out.
Grim. You know, Grim Reaper is a company that, you know, when they first were around, they were having some massive blood trails with their hits. And I think where they went wrong, to be honest, the Grim Reaper was a great company, but they always had the wrong marketing team in place. And it really messed them up, in my opinion, over the years. They never did the right stuff. They always, in my opinion, did the wrong things. And even to today, you still don't hear about Grim Reaper. That's how bad their marketing is.
You really don't.
They don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's that plain and simple. In fact, I need to give them a call. They need help. They need massive help.
I actually messaged them today. So,
oh, good. Well, they probably won't get it. See, they're not in touch with internet. They're lost. They're lost, man. They you know. And I used to know the guy, that one of the owners, and the problem was they take their part of the industry issues is that people are buddy buddy, and that's okay to an extent. Okay, I don't want to say it's not okay. It is okay to an extent. But you got to put the business first. So if the business is faulting because you're listening to this dude that only pitches TV and magazine, well, obviously if Sitka and Matthews and Bowtech and all these brands are doing internet, there's something going on there, right? I mean, you got to be smart and cognitive what's going on. And Grim Reaper is one of those companies that is not. They are not in the right realm. And I know who used to do the marketing, and the guy was horrible. All the brands he did are like never made anything, because they just gave him all their money and he put in his buddies. you know?
I mean, you really don't see advertisements for them, like, now that you mention it. Like, I can't remember the last time I was even in a hunting magazine, anything. You really see them advertised.
I think I did see the old commercial recently on, like, the Outdoor Channel or something with the Grim Reaper guy.
Yeah, that's TV. No one watches TV that much.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody. You're the only one I know, but I mean, yours is really just research. You're just going on to see what's going on or who's doing TV.
There's a few that I like religiously will watch every once in a while just to see what they're doing, like Heartland Bull Hunter and all that. And I watch Uncle Ted just because he's Uncle Ted.
Yeah, who doesn't?
he's fun to watch.
His show's been the same for like 30 years. He doesn't change it, and it's awesome.
He doesn't need to. I mean, he doesn't care. No, that's the thing I love about him is that he's a rock star. So for him, this is just a side thing, even though I'm sure it makes up a lot of his money today. But it's kind of a side thing now, right? It's to him, it's like, you know what? Yep. I'm a rock star. I'm going to do a hunting show. If you want to pay me 40, 50, 100 grand to sponsor it, go ahead. And that's what it works. Yep. Well, he does his show. He gets it. He doesn't do anything. He just hunts. And there's a production company that films him, does all the stuff with him, does all the editing. He don't do any of that. You know, it's simple. So I don't blame him. It's a perfect scenario. Yeah. And I would love to talk to him on the podcast, to be honest. I'm curious. A lot of things I have questions
about.
That'd
be awesome. Yeah.
There's just a lot of things in regard to the ranches. I mean, he owns two different ranches. And, I mean, the upkeep alone of those things is expensive. I mean, you go out there and shoot what he shoots. Think about that. He shoots every day. He shoots a deer every day.
Literally,
at least one. And sometimes he sits there and shoots two or three. And so if you factor, let's just say 365 days a year, that's 365 deer he's shooting on his internal ranch that's fenced. So that means that 365 deer are dead each year to film that show, right? So I mean, you got to pay. There's money. It's cost. You know, there is a cost to it.
Yeah.
But he was shooting Magnus broadheads for a long time. They were a big sponsor of his, and he loved that tips that you could resharpen. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I think he's shooting Muzzy now, or I forgot what he's shooting now.
I think he is shooting that, either that or G5 for some reason. I'm thinking, but I think it's Muzzy.
Right now. I'll look it up. I can't remember. Spear of the Wild. Yeah, he has a lot of I would say Ted Nugent has a lot of power.
Hello. Oh. My name is Thomas Cornfield, and I'm a permanently 100% disabled.
Is that mine?
Yeah.
Not me.
Whoa, that was mine. Holy cow, what was
now
that?
I'm gonna have to edit this thing.
No, you don't. You leave it in there.
So Ted Nugent. He uses Muzzy. You were right. I just looked it up.
Is it?
Oh, man. Yep, Muzzy.
Can't get to it quick enough. So Muzzy, what else is he using there? Is he has other brands?
Right now, it's just showing Muzzy on what I got it results on. Let's see here.
Matthew
Hunter Shemaine. All right, here we go. Sunrise Safaris. Oh yeah, I would love to do this. Sunrise Safaris in Michigan.
Yeah.
Over in Jackson.
You can hunt with them, though. It's a lot. It's like $1,500, but I mean, that's like, seriously, think about
that.
That'd
be pretty awesome.
Once in a lifetime, you'd be able to hunt with Ted Nugent. I mean, he's not going to live forever. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, and although it's expensive, it's, I don't know. It just seems like it'd be sweet. Here's Pork Slam. Everyone's sold out except for one spot left, and they just added it. $1,750 per hunter.
Get on.
Better do it.
Man.
Well, he's coming to Freedom Hill here in Michigan. Yeah. That's 2 miles from our studio. He's coming here. It's
nice.
Unbelievable. I know. I tried to get him to come, but they said he can't. It would have been so awesome, man, have him come.
That would have been really cool.
But who knows? You never know in the future. Yeah. And he is from Michigan. He comes back here a lot, right? So it's not like couldn't do it during the season. But then again, for him, he's probably like, who cares, you know? If I'm at the NRA, no point in wasting his time with me.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, wasn't he using Schwacker broadheads or whatever too?
No, I don't think it's Schwacker. I was thinking Blood. That one we were talking about earlier, for Chris Cobbett. I was thinking that one.
Hmm.
What was that one called? Is it a? Dang, I don't think it was Schwacker because Schwacker's part of the Parker family stuff.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. How can I not find this? How can this not pop up?
Mm-hmm.
This has got to pop up. Sunrise pops up. Oh, you know what? I know why. Tenuja Hines, Spirit of the Wild. Show. That's the key. The word. The key word. Outdoor Channel. See, Outdoor Channel doesn't show the... what was that noise? Jay bumping in?
Hello? No, I didn't hear anything. Oh, he's got Dead Ringer on here.
Dead Ringer, that's the one.
Dead Ringer, okay.
Dead Ringer, Gold Tip, Matthews, Morrell, Mossy Oak.
That's the new one. See, I knew Dead Ringer came in. Somebody changed from Muzzy. That's why I said that. I knew someone came in recently.
Hey, did you guys know he uses Ted Nugent ammo?
Yeah. I did know.
Newsflash.
Newsflash. Did you also know that Kid Rock has his own beer and his own grill? Bad blank grill.
Apparently he's running for Senate in Michigan too now. I just read.
Get out of here.
The beer is not.
Swear, I just saw it on Facebook.
What? What the heck? I just feel like you just get, I don't know. Politics ain't for me. Okay. I don't see the
point. Now the Rock, I just don't see the... they're trying to get the Rock to run for president.
Yeah, in 2020, I saw that.
I mean, this stuff, dude. I mean, everybody's just so, like, angry with politics. It's so funny to me. I'm like, dude, calm down. It's a political process. I mean, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I understand there's things to be mad about if you're mad about, but that's fine. Take it up in the system. Don't be, I don't know. I just feel like it's, like, out of control. Like, you go on CNN, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, it's just constantly bashing our president of the United States of America. It's unreal to me.
Yeah. I just stopped watching the news entirely for the most part because I've never
seen anything like it. I have to agree. It's a witch hunt. I mean, how in the world are you going to report on all these things constantly? They're small. I don't know. I just feel like we have a lot more important things to worry about than they're calling treason and stuff. I mean, come on. This is getting ridiculous. Like, I'm not saying I'm for or pro or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know what? Like, we need to focus on problems instead of all this baloney. I don't know what they're trying to do here. Like, I don't know what, you know, this doesn't look good. It looks pathetic and it looks really embarrassing, in my opinion. But I can't believe they're okay posting stuff like that. It's just unreal. You know.
It's terrible.
Anyways, back to Honey.
Yeah.
No stupid, boring politics. So, yeah, there was an article in the Detroit News, I think, or USA Today. I think it was USA Today, but it was from Detroit News or Free Press. But the article had to do with the overpopulation of bears in Michigan right now, and that's causing an issue. And,
oh, wow.
They're trying to let people kill more bears next year. I guess all the honeybee farmers are losing tons of hives of bees to the bears.
Because really?
An overpopulation, so they're wiping out the honey, the people who make the honey, you know, make money making honey for a living. So they're messing up their herds, or I don't know what you call them, beehives, I guess. So the issue is they come in, these bears, and you know how bears are. I mean, they tear through everything. It's not like they just go and lick it, you know. They break everything. They break the boxes. They eat the bees and the honey. They, you know. So anyway, this big article is in there. I did actually email the guy who wrote it to see if he'd join us on the podcast to discuss it, because I think it's a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was said, though, inside this one of the things that was said in the article that I kind of took offense to was one of the beehive keepers was talking about he has 150 beehives around the state, around the area. It's impossible to fence every single one. It's too expensive, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his responses was that, you know, he made the comment that, you know, it forces the average citizen to become a criminal. And what his words were in there was shoot, shovel, whatever the word term is.
Three S's.
Shoot, shovel, and shut up.
Yeah, exactly. That one. And I really did take offense to it, because I felt like, you know what, man, you are a criminal if you do that. OK, that's number one. So don't say it makes the average person become a criminal. That bear was here before you. I'm sorry. You know, like, people make it out like, oh, you know, we're just letting these bears come and do all this and not killing them and da da da. It's like, wait a minute. You know, same with coyotes. They're natural. They're supposed to be here. Like, and yes, I understand you have an issue, and with this honey thing, you need to take it up with your congressmen, your senators, or whatever. Like, that's how it works. It's a political capitalist process. So if you need a fence in and it's expensive and this is causing an issue, then you need to go to the state and ask for funding. you know, to fence these things in. Or you need to fix it yourself. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? You shoot a bear because it's eating your honey when it's just trying to get food. It doesn't, yeah, it just doesn't.
It's natural food. It loves honey. So,
and you're going to tell me that you're going to, in the paper, you're going to quote that you're going to do that, the three S's. And I'm just like, what the heck, man? Like, these people, like, I get it. Don't get me wrong. It's a, you got to make a living. I get it. But like, you got to have some respect for yourself and for animals. I mean, come on. Like, you got to come up another way. You know, there's got to be another way. Fence them or whatever. Electric fences. I don't know.
That's what people were doing up north to the wolves, too.
That's what I'm saying. And the wolves.
Yes.
So the wolves is an interesting topic, right? The wolves is a little bit different here. The wolves were extinct in the area, okay? So everybody became used to not worrying about having wolves to kill everything. So this is a different scenario. Bears have been there. They just, the DNR has limited the amount of kill tags. So now they're increasing it because everybody's yelling that they need to kill
up the bears and up the elks.
Well, it's the bears has already happened, so they're doing that this year coming up. And the wolves, though, I don't know. I don't agree with doing that, number one. I'm not going to say I do. I'm just saying I understand how people feel, because now all of a sudden you have children in the backyard in the Upper Peninsula that have to worry about a wolf coming by and snagging your little one. That never had to worry about that because you, as a state, decided to manually put these animals back in the habitat that weren't there.
Absolutely.
So I don't know about that one. That one is a little bit trickier.
The wolves is definitely tricky, because I hunted up in the UP last year and I got a 6-pointer up there. But I mean, everyone that I talked to up there, like, they were just complaining about the wolves. And I hunted on a farm, and the year before that I hunted on there, he had 6 confirmed kills, wolf kills, in the winter.
Wow.
Like, just in the winter alone. And then probably he saw, like, probably 6 or 7 fawns get taken out by coyotes and wolves that following spring. So they're definitely out of control up there.
Yeah, so, and I think...
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know Kevin was hunting in the UP about 5 years ago, and he was, they were gun hunting. It was wintertime. And he was sitting there, and this pack of wolves walked right through his set, and he didn't notice at first. He didn't even notice them at first. He just he just happened. He looked up, didn't see anything, looked down for about, you know, I don't know, it was like 10-15 seconds. He's looking down, he looked back up, and there was like 6 of them walking through his set. Like, they didn't see him, but they're walking right through it. Ended up going to his other guy that was hunting with him and passed him and gone. But basically in his area, they pushed all the deer out. The wolf packs have pushed all the deer. So you go hunt with him in the UP, it's really pretty much pointless to go there. Unfortunately, and you just don't see, the only thing that's there is the bears, but that's about it. And the deer are in the southern, and probably more in the western southern area, I think, than the central.
Yeah, well, I just read a story today, some jackass shot a bald eagle and then ran it over with his four-wheeler.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I guess it kept taking fish out of his pond.
Where is this at?
Oh,
remember.
Have fun in prison. Yeah. Have fun in prison with the soap.
Dude, it's up to a year in prison and $100,000.
You done, son.
Oh, my gosh.
You done. Your pond's gone, or cause you're not going to be enjoying
it
no more.
Stupid.
So, did you guys...
People just aren't logical.
No. Did you hear about the... did you see the article the other day of the whole like mountain lion thing?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Like, in the lower...
Yep.
I saw that the other day. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Crazy. Yeah, that's a little creepy, you know? I mean, something like that where it can actually take you out. You don't think of it that way, you know? But, you know, I know a lot of our Western hunter brothers here and there and women, they're used to that kind of stuff. They're used to hunting where there's mountain lions, so they kind of have a feel or, you know, of what to do or, you know, how they put their packs on around their neck and just different things they do that we don't do in Michigan and
the Midwest.
But now knowing that, it's kind of creepy. How do you guys think it got there? You guys think it crawled from, like, what? Like, I know they go big distances.
Yeah.
You think it's Wisconsin through the UP?
I'm thinking the UP, because I remember reading an article, I don't know how long ago it was now, but, like, the DNR, you know, said, oh, they're pretty much extinct. There's probably just, like, a handful of them. Like, we don't think that there's enough population to reproduce. And then a hunter up in the UP was, like, submitted his trail cam photo to the DNR, and it showed, you know, a mama and 3 little cubs behind her. So, I mean, I think that they've been around. I just don't think that – I think they're just so good at hiding a lot of the times. And it's so dense up there, especially in the UP. You just don't have the foot traffic. So it's – I think they're up there. But in the lower, I don't know. I don't know how he would have gotten down there.
I think, you know, me and Jamie were up at the in the UP a few – I don't know, it's like 2 years ago now or 3 years now. But we were riding on my machine. We were – or my UTV. We were going from his lake house, little lake house they got to a cabin. Mm-hmm. And his cabin, we're riding, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this wolf runs across the road, huge wolf. And but I remember thinking, when it ran across, I barely saw it because it happened real fast, you know. But then when it ran in the woods, we stopped where it ran in, and it was so dense that you couldn't even see past 1 foot into it, into that jungle. And I thought, my thought to myself, like, anything could live in here. How would the DNR ever know a real number? There's no way.
There's no way.
You can't even see in there. You can't see through those canopies with drones or planes or helicopters. You can't see nothing. You said, they hide so well. There's no way. There could be hundreds of cougars up in there. They could just be coming at night and moving at night, you know? I mean, it's hard to tell. And, you know, those wolves, though, you're not going to see them. I mean, especially if they're scared of humans, you're not going to even
go. Yeah.
We didn't got into the Bigfoot yet that's up there, those dog men. That's a big deal up there. Those guys even came up to search for him.
Really?
Yeah. And everybody in town is making a big joke of him because they flew into the little airport, I guess, up there.
You're actually being serious.
Oh, I'm dead serious.
I thought you were messing with
Bigfoot
hunters came up there.
What?
From that show. No. That guy always calls him Squatch, a big goofy guy.
Oh, nice. Sounds like
I bet they found
crazy.
One.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure they found one. Their TV found one for sure. For their ratings.
Yeah.
That was just me drunk punching on a tree with a stick.
That's what they do. They take the wood. I remember that when I was younger, I used to always watch shows like, you know, Finding Bigfoot or whatever, and they tell stories of people's stories that were like, well, this guy was walking in Colorado, and I remember because it was so weird. I just remember that he was walking a ridge, and he heard this is what he says, right? He heard a thump on a tree, like a rock hitting a tree, and he looked around, he heard it again, and then it got louder, and it was something started yelling and screaming, and then he ran away scared. But I just remember thinking, like, what the heck? Are you kidding me right now, dude? It's probably some like kids. And in fact, I'm the opposite. Like, see, that's the thing that's funny. Like, I don't get scared from things like that. I'd go investigate it. Like, I'd be like, what is that? I'm going to go check it out. You know, like, that's the difference, I think. In the woods, I'm not scared in the woods. Like, people are weird about that to me. Like, I'm only scared of people. I'm not scared of animals. Like, people creep me out. Like, you just don't know some dude staring at you in the woods or something, right? That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. Like,
well, one time, speaking of that, like, one time we were hunting this land on state land in the Thumb. Nope. And Brian and I, we drove there, and there's no cars there. There's nobody there. You know, we hunted. No one's there. We left. Mm-hmm. We came back. We did, you know. And all of a sudden, this one night, we get there. It's a night hunt. We get there early, though, earlier than normal. And this car pulls up, and this guy gets out all fully camo, doesn't say anything. And somebody drops him off, is my point. And he walks into the same area we're going. And I'm like, okay, that's a little creepy, though, because I wasn't expecting that, right? I didn't see a car. Yeah. I just assumed nobody's in there with us. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, that's kind of weird. There's somebody in here with us. You know what I mean? There's somebody in here, like, in the same area. He walked down the same trail, and he disappeared around the same area we go. I'm like, where's this dude hunting? You know, now I want to talk to him. Like, where are you hunting? Where are you sitting? Where, you know, like, how far are you?
Yeah, just to know where he is. Yeah.
Yeah, just for safety purposes, too, right? And I'm like, but we couldn't catch him. He, like, purposely avoided us, which kind of creeped me out even more. I'm like Brian, like, you keep your walkie-talkie on, man, you know, like, I don't know. So I don't know. I state land creeps me out because of stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, good old state land.
I don't think I could ever gun hunt on state land, man.
I did when I was a kid, man. Oh. It was scary. I almost shot a dude, man. I was like 14.
Yeah.
He came through the bush, dude. I was by myself with a shotgun and sitting by a tree, and I was like, you know. I don't see anything. I'm getting ready. Got my beat up and everything. And this dude pops out. I'm like, oh, my God.
I mean, it doesn't even really matter if it's state land or not. I mean, my dad's got 180 acres or whatever. It's still, This dude like rolls in at 7 o'clock in the morning when it's light on opening day with a flashlight. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That's why, but that is my point, right? Because that's me. There was me at 13 or 14 years old, right? And how do I know there's not a 14-year-old out there with a gun like that right now?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that guy who gets shot by the 14-year-old who makes a mistake, right? It's just crazy.
Yeah. I've had people with dogs. I don't know if you guys have ever had dogs during hunting season, but I've just had someone walk. Oh, just
bear
like, the owner not on a leash. Like I had a golden retriever like run right in front of my blind.
I got dogs. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Cats and...
Yeah, that's the worst. I saw a pit bull one time. I was so happy I was in my stand. I was like, oh my god, look at that thing. It's so scary looking. It's so fast too. It was just running. No one was around. I didn't even see a person. It just ran through the middle of the state land. Like it was crazy. I don't even know where it went. It just ran right by me. I'm in the middle of nowhere, dude. When I hunt in state land, I'm hunting like literally 1.5 miles in the state land, like in thick wood. There's no like houses. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I would have been so scared if I was on the ground and came up to a pit bull.
Here's a good
story. This is a good story. So one time, Brian and I were in the same area of the state land, and we were trying to find new areas to hunt. So we started searching the state land. This is before GPS satellites, before Google Maps. This is before, you know, the GPSs and stuff. This is like basically 96, 97, somewhere in there. But anyway, so we're walking, right? And we're walking for a while. We find these runs and these little trails, these offshoots, and we're lost now at this point. We're like, okay, don't know how to get back. Don't know where we're at. So we're walking. We come up to this edge of this field, and there's a house, and we're like, oh, thank you God, you know, there's this house. And we come up to the backyard, right? And this is like you're talking in the middle of nowhere here, plus we're like in this like Hickville kind of place, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like
boy.
So we come up into the edge of this woods, and there's a kid, there's these kids on a trampoline, and they run, they see us, they run into the house and tell their parents. Well, the parents open the door and they let out this pit bull.
Oh,
and this thing comes all the way up to us from like 70 yards out. Like, I mean, their house is far up at the front of the property. So he comes all the way up. It comes up. It stops 10 yards in front of me, and it's growling. It's just staring at me. And I'm trying to wave to the people like, you know, we're not like, you know, we're just trying to get out of here, you know. And so anyway, this is so funny. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, right. And Brian was behind me. He was like 10 yards behind me standing. He's like, dude, don't move, man. And I'm like, it's locked on me, right? So here's what I do. This is so funny. I start backing up real slow, just real slow, like very nonchalant. I'm like, Bri, I'm like, this thing's on me, dude. It's on me. I get to him and I tap him. I go, I'm going to make a run for it. He goes, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And I run, and he's stuck now, and it's on him. And I was gone, dude. I was like,
That's not a good story.
Still mad at me. He's still mad at me today for that situation. Then he backed out and got out. And on the way out, man, he was so mad. And we had to go back to the woods and find another way out because we were like, didn't know what to do. We couldn't go past the dog to get out. And we had to find another way. It was horrible. Hours out there, man.
Well, you did that to me with a skunk, too, now that I remember correctly.
Oh.
Skunk. You almost got at Kevin's. You almost got me sprayed.
No, I
saw those
wife
skunks.
Got you sprayed.
And you just ran. And they all wife's lifted their tail.
Oh yeah, I don't mess around, man. I'm you know what they do that? Is it fight or flight? I flight all the time. I'm out. Clean run. Just go for it. I'm not messing around. I'm not gonna hurt this pretty face. I'm just out of there. Skunk spraying me in the ass in my face. I'm not manly enough for that. Don't need that.
Yeah.
Nothing
no
like
thanks.
Dog in the woods, man. It's scary. Mm-hmm. Especially when you don't know and it's not a little beagle.
Yeah, it's not a little basset hound running around.
You're like, oh, man, it's going to be bad. But, yeah, me and Opum, so last year we were we were scouting our area with this land we got. And I look over. We were turkey hunting, and we were getting ready, or something was happening. We're going out, and I look over, and there's this guy and this girl walking through Opum's set. 300 acres of private land walking right through our set. I'm like, are you kidding me? He runs over and yells at this dude. Oh my god, it was so funny! Like,
funny
how
because
that
I shot that turkey later, about 2 hours later.
Oh, it's late. I forgot it was the same day.
Yeah, I'm like, I almost went in. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna see nothing now. But
that's so funny.
Yeah,
I would say, honestly, though, I mean, I guess, hey, Mike, what's your hunting ethic when you hunt? Are you, do you get discouraged quickly? Do you go in early? Do you, I mean,
oh,
how do
man.
You?
I guess it all depends on, like, how it's been going. I mean, there's been times to where, like, I'll sit there, like, all day. Like, just take a little snack with me, and I'll be out there all day long trying to fill my tag. There's, you know, times to where I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'll go in for a couple hours and come out, you know, morning and night. But for the most part, I don't really get discouraged. I do have one friend, and I will not name him, but he'll know who he is, who, if he doesn't see a deer within, like, the first 30 minutes or, like, the first day that we're hunting, he's like, oh, there's no deer up here. There's no deer. I haven't seen anything. There's no deer up here. I should just go home. I'm like, yeah, man, like, you need to just calm down and be patient.
So. That's funny. That's hilarious, because there's somebody on this podcast right now who's just like that.
Yeah. Really?
It's not me.
It's
not
me. It's Ron.
You're, dude, you and Ron are the worst two I've ever seen in my life.
He didn't see a deer that whole time.
Whining. Oh, this is stupid. I'm cold. I'm going in. I'm getting coffee. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Just shut up and hunt.
Yeah.
Just shut your mouth.
Now, listen, Mike, this comes from the guy that's watching Netflix in the tree stand.
True. That's true. I have watched Netflix.
You had a 140 walk by him.
Yes, I did. That happened to me. I admit it.
Oh, my gosh.
It was bad. I was very,
I get bored.
140 in Michigan, too, man.
Yes, I know. I was standing too, to make it even worse. I was standing. Like, all I had to do was turn and shoot. And I was standing there, watching, I don't know what I was watching. It was some stupid show on Netflix. Standing there, it's like 4 o'clock. And I wasn't thinking much of, like, hunting, because I was like, we just got out there, like 3:30. And I didn't think of anything. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to burn a little bit of time here. And the next thing you know, I hear this noise, and I look over, and there's a 4-point and, like, a 140 class buck running past me. To my right, right by me, like 20-yard shot. They ran right by me, but they didn't stop right already. And then I looked behind me after that, and I saw a coyote cross the field, like a huge coyote. So he bumped him from across the field. They must have ran all the way across the field because I wasn't paying attention. If I would have seen him running, I would have been ready. Think about that, right? If I just happened to look out in that field, see him running across to my end, I could have turned around, got ready. Then they would have ran right in front of me. I'm like, what are you? So then after that, I got excited though. So it actually helped me, because I was all pumped. So I'm like, dude, there's a big buck running around out here. And then Bauer saw a bigger one, like a big one too, like the next day or something. So we were really excited, and then we didn't get nothing. But but anyway, that's about it.
All right. Well, we've probably taken this topic to task. I think we've been on about 17 topics.
I think we lost Broadheads. Yeah.
We got off Broadheads real quick.
It was a pretty good discussion, I think.
To the next time.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll see you guys.
Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com, with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.